Thank you for listening to the Bible Expositors Podcast with your host, Stephen Baker, taking you verse by verse through the Word of God from the pulpit of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia.
Preaching this morning on the subject of a mother's responsibility. A mother's responsibility. Next week, we'll be back in our study of 1 Corinthians, but this week our texts are coming from 2 Timothy 1:5 and Titus 2:3-5, but a mother's responsibility. And being a mother is a great responsibility, and we're going to talk about that this morning, and we'll actually have an application in this for all women. So just like we give gifts to all women on Mother's Day, even if you're here, and I don't know if there's anyone here that's not a mother, but if you're here and you're not a mother, then we're going to have an application for every woman here today. So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be in your house this morning. I do pray you would forgive me for my sins. I pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd help me to focus. I pray that you would just fill us all with your Holy Spirit and help us to learn from your word this morning. I pray if anyone here is not saved, that you would save them. And I pray you'd do a great work in this house this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. We pray you bless all the services going on in town. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. A mother's responsibility. Now, the first thing we're going to look at is 2 Timothy 1:5, and we first see that a mother has a responsibility to pass down her faith to her children and grandchildren. She has a responsibility to pass down her faith. Now, when we talk about passing down faith from 2 Timothy 1:5, we are not talking about you can inherit Christianity, obviously. Some people think that because they're born into a Christian family that that makes them a Christian. And we don't believe that. We believe you have to be born again. The Bible makes that clear in the Gospel of John in chapter 1, where the Bible says, to as many as received Him, that is Christ, to as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on His name, who were born not of blood. So in other words, the Bible says you cannot inherit Christianity through the bloodline. You have to receive Christ personally. And so that's what we mean when we talk about passing down faith, is winning your kids to Christ and your grandkids to Christ. And 2 Timothy 1:5, Timothy was one of Paul's young preachers that Paul trained. But Paul did not lead Timothy to Christ. Timothy was led to Christ by his mother. And so the Bible says, Paul writing to Timothy, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." And so Timothy, the first person to get saved in the family was Timothy's grandmother, Lois. She got saved. And then she told her daughter how to be saved, and Eunice got saved. And then after Lois and Eunice, then Timothy got saved. And so it's very important as a mother and as a grandmother that you pass your faith down to your children and grandchildren. If you have grandchildren here, if you have grandchildren that aren't saved, if you're here and you're a grandparent, you have grandchildren that aren't saved, it is your responsibility to tell them about Jesus Christ. You cannot make them get saved, but you can tell them how to be saved. And it's your responsibility. If your children are out of church or your grandchildren are out of church, you've got to be the one to urge them to get into church and to invite them to church. It's your responsibility as a grandmother, as a great-grandmother, as a mother. You must urge your children to get in church and pass your faith down to your children and grandchildren. Now, we cannot make them worship God. Can't do it. A lot of people feel guilty because their children, you know, aren't in church or something like that. You cannot make them go to church. You can't make them worship God, but you sure can live a good testimony before them and share your faith with them. And that's what we need to do. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Some people like to pronounce Eunice there Eunice, but I'm from the South, so it's Eunice. Now as we get into our verses in Titus, I'm just going to read a couple of verses for introduction and kind of set the stage and tell you what he's talking about here. So Titus 2:1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Now why did Paul, Titus was one of Paul's trainees. Paul, he was a young preacher and Paul had trained him. And Paul put him on the island of Crete, and his job was to work with the people on the island of Crete and to plant churches and to kind of lead that work there. And he was doing a missionary's work. So Paul says to Titus, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Now, why did he tell him to do that? Well, doctrine's important. A lot of people today don't want doctrine. They just want an experience when they go to church. But the best experiences come from sound doctrine. If you understand how people are saved by the grace of God through faith alone in Jesus Christ, that'll make you feel good. And it'll give you an experience. But some people want, you know, just the circus and the experience and all of that, the feeling without the doctrine. But sound doctrine is important. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Now, why did he tell him this? He told him this because in chapter 1 we learn about the Cretans, the people that lived on the island of Crete. And Paul says to Titus, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. So these people had really low character. That sounds like a slur, like an ethnic slur, like the Cretans are always liars, but Paul says this witness is true. So Paul says this is the absolute truth. This is what these people are like. Wherefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. Titus 1:12 through 13. So what he's saying is, look, Titus, you're working with these people on the island of Crete, and the Cretans are liars. They lie all the time. They're evil beasts. They're slow bellies. They're gluttons. They're wicked people. And he says, this is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. This is not talking about unsaved people. It's talking about people who have been born again, who still lie and do all these things because it was in their culture. That's the culture they came from. This, one of the things is we don't understand a lot of times because most of us have not been outside the country and we haven't done mission work. But when you start working with other cultures, there are some things ingrained in the cultures where when you start working with those people, you have to teach them this is wrong and you shouldn't do this just because this is what has always been done in your culture. So in this culture, this is the way the people were. And so these people were saved. They were young babes in Christ. Certainly, spiritually, they were acting like babies. And so Paul says to Titus, you need to rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. That reminds me, when I was in high school, I was in the marching band, and I had led a girl that she played the same instrument I did, and I had led her to Christ. She got saved, and she would always go around, cursing all the time. And after she got saved, I mean, she got saved, baptized, and she cussed all the time, and so I finally got fed up with it because I had given her a Bible and everything, and I decided to just say something. So I said, look, you're a Christian. Quit cussing. You shouldn't do that. And she said, oh, okay. So, you know, like a week later, she said, hey, I've been trying not to do that anymore. And I said, okay, great, you know. And so, but sometimes you have to just rebuke people sharply. You have to say, hey, you're saved, you know. You don't need to get drunk on Saturday night. You're saved. Don't do it. Rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. So that's why he talks about, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Now, it was necessary to go through that introduction and set that up so we'll understand who he's dealing with here and what he's saying. So we have said already that a mother has responsibility to pass down her faith. Number two, she has a responsibility to live a holy life. To live a holy life. Verse 1 of Titus 2, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. Now there's a lot there to men, but this is not Father's Day, so we're going to skip over that. I let the men off the hook. That's right, Jeff. But now we'll get down to the next verse. Now, when we study through Titus, we're going to come back and talk about all of that. But it's telling the men, you know, you need to live right. Now we get to verse 3. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior, is becometh holiness. So he's saying, look, to the older women, you need to live a holy life, not false accusers. So you don't need to be going around slandering people. Not given to much wine. You don't need to be drunks. Teachers of good things. And that's going to be very important in the next several verses. You need to teach good things. And so we need to live holy lives, men or women. But moms and grandmothers should live holy lives. And just because you're older doesn't mean you live holy. We need to live holy lives. We don't need to be falsely accusing people. You know, everybody gossips, but we don't need to go around gossiping all the time, slandering people and all that kind of a thing. And not given to much wine, and that's self-explanatory. Nobody wants to see their grandmother drunk. It's not a good vision. So don't do it. Teachers of good things. You need to teach good things. Now that's going to be very important. So we said, number one, a mother has a responsibility to pass down her faith. Number two, to live a holy life. And number three, to teach the young women. To teach the young women. Verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. So this is not just written to mothers, it's written to all older women. So older women have a responsibility to teach young women. So mothers must teach their daughters and granddaughters, and all women must teach the younger women. Now that's kind of interesting because most of the time we think it's the preacher's responsibility to teach the young women how to treat their husbands and love their children, because preachers preach on it. We preach the Bible, but it's actually the older women in the church, it's their responsibility to teach the younger women. And that's what the Bible says, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Now, the first thing he says is teach them to be sober. And basically that comes from one Greek word, and Mount says that it means to encourage, to restore to a right mind, to make sober-minded, to steady by exhortation and guidance. So that we might read the verse like this, that they may restore the young women to their senses, to love their husbands and children. Now, dealing with the kind of men that we were obviously dealing with in Crete, the Cretans are always liars. Evil beasts, slow bellies. So, and people got married young. They used to get married young in the United States. Some of you probably got married when you were 18 years old. Anybody get married when they were 18? How about 17? There we go, 17. Anybody younger than 17 when you got married? No? All right. I think when my grandmother married my grandfather, they both passed away now, but this was on my dad's side, but I believe that she was 15 when they got married. But that's what people used to do. And so you're thinking of some young girls, maybe a 15-year-old, 16-year-old girl gets married, and she is married to this guy, and the guy turns out to be, because that was the culture, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow belly. So he sits around, eats, he's lazy, and he lies all the time. And she comes from this same culture. And so perhaps the women, it would seem to indicate that the young women had left off loving their husbands or didn't know how to love their husbands. And it kind of indicates restoring them to a right mind. So perhaps they weren't in their right minds. Maybe they had just left it off and gone off to do their own thing. And so Paul is saying, look, you need, Titus, you need to get the older women to teach the younger women. You need to get them back in their right minds. You need to teach them to be sober-minded and to love their husbands and their children. And so that's a responsibility of the older women. Now, I want to read the verse again and just emphasize love their husbands and their children, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. You would think that young women today automatically know how to love their husbands and their children. But the truth is, young women love their husbands and their children when they have children, but it doesn't mean they know how to love their husbands and children. And people learn how to love in a marriage from their parents. And people learn that, they learn how to take care of children from their grandmother and from their mother. And so it's essential that the older folks here teach the younger ones how to be a good wife, how to love their husbands, how to love their children. There's things that they need to learn from you. And maybe one of the reasons that so many marriages now end in divorce with young people is because young people don't know what to do because they've not been taught by older people. And so we need to teach. And that's a special responsibility of mothers and older women to teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. He goes on in verse 5, to be discreet. Now I'm going to take each word here, each phrase, so to be discreet. The word discreet means curbing one's desires and impulses, self-controlled, temperate. So basically he's saying you need to teach them to be self-controlled, to have self-control. Very important, especially if you're dealing with a young lady, a young girl who's just gotten married, 15-year-old. She may not have the kind of self-control and the ability to curb her impulses. So the older women were to teach them, and we still have to teach, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. All right, chaste. The word chaste simply means pure. So you're to teach them to live a pure life. And that's a responsibility that you have, is to teach young women to live a pure life, to not be doing ungodly things, saying ungodly things. You need to teach them to be pure, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. Keepers at home. You need to teach young women to stay at home and not leave the house. Is that what it means? Some commentators actually think that's what it means. They think, I read Gill, and Gill said that, women are always running around to their relatives and doing all this kind of thing. They won't stay at home. You need to teach them to stay at home. But actually, that's probably not the meaning here. I'm going to read you from this verse from an older version, older than the King James, in English, the Tyndale Version. This is from the 1534 Tyndale. And Tyndale used a word, 90% of the King James was actually taken from Tyndale's translation work. That's not widely commonly known, but if you study text and where they came from, then that's what happened. It came via the Geneva and so on and so forth. But as you read Tyndale, then he uses a word in this verse that is not in the English dictionary anymore. The word doesn't exist anymore, but I think it's a great word. And I'm going to read this. This is how he translates to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. To be discreet, chaste, housewifely. Housewifely. Good and obedient unto their own husbands, that the word of God be not evil spoken of. Now, if we take that word housewifely, it instantly brings up the thought of a housewife. Someone taking care of the home. And so the idea is a worker at home, one who has the skills of a housewife. And we have to, the older women must teach the younger women to have the skills of a housewife. Guys that marry today, you know, may think they want a liberated woman, but they want a woman that at least can cook. And you've got to teach, you older women that can cook need to teach the younger women to cook. For one thing, we're going to have an emergency in this church if young women don't learn to cook. Because Miss Althy, I mean, I don't know what we're going to do. She can cook good. And we asked her one time and she said, young women today don't want to learn how to cook. But you've got to pass that down. Otherwise, everybody's just going to be eating out all the time. Now, that's what we did growing up because my dad, my mother worked, my dad worked, and she could cook. She just didn't want to, so we ate out for every meal. But it gets expensive. So, both men and women need to clean up, okay? We're not being chauvinistic. But women sometimes have to show men how to clean. When my dad, before he got married, I have heard stories. He did not get married until he was 40 years old. And before he got married, he kept an outdoor, you know those old metal garbage cans? He kept two of those metal garbage cans in his house. One in the middle of his living room. And he would just chunk garbage into that can. His house was filthy. And my mother came in when they got married and she said, we're going to get this cleaned up. And she got it and she kept it clean. So a worker at home, one who has the skills of a housewife, and that has to be taught because not everybody knows. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good. Everybody knows what that means. You're supposed to be good. Obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, it's 11:57, so I'm not going to go in a long speech on mutual submission and all that kind of a thing, but the Bible says obedience to their own husbands. Now, I want to point this out. The Bible does not say obedient to someone else's husband. I know some... You should say amen, because I know some preachers that preach to the women in their congregation like the women are supposed to obey them. You know, they tell the women what to wear, they tell them all this kind of nonsense, and the truth is that a husband is supposed to take care of that. Women are to obey their own husband, obedient to their own husband. That the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, how might the word of God be blasphemed when a wife was not being obedient to her own husband? John Gill offers an interesting take on this that I'm going to just read. That the word of God be not blasphemed by unbelieving husbands who, by the ill conduct of their wives, would be provoked to speak ill of the gospel, as if that taught disaffection and disobedience to them. So in other words, if a wife said, I'm a Christian, and she wouldn't be submissive to her husband, the husband might blaspheme the Word of God and say, this Christianity thing's nonsense. I'm not going to have any part of that. And so Paul says to Titus, teach them to be obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. And, you know, if we follow the patterns that are set forth in the Bible and the instructions, then the home goes a lot better and everything goes a lot better. And there's mutual submission and there's a way that that works. But obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. So in conclusion, a mother's responsibility. Number one, pass down your faith. Get your children in church. Get your grandchildren in church. Teach them how to be saved. Pass down your faith. Number two, live a holy life. Live right. That's real simple. Live right. Number three, teach the young women. I think that's the great thing that's missing today is we think young women don't want to be taught, so we don't teach them. And the truth is that young women would appreciate it if some older women would teach them things, because there's things they need to know in order to have stable homes and churches, and it's necessary to pass those things down for our homes and churches to continue as they should. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll conclude. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be here on this Mother's Day. I do pray that we would make decisions that would please you, that we would, if for all the older women here on this day, it's a blessed thing to be a mother and a grandmother. And we thank you for that privilege. And we do pray that we would take the knowledge we have and that we would pass that down to the younger generation and teach the younger generation. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.